We often see projects with, big ambitions, but today we're diving into something that feels particularly innovative. It's called the Maitland Tower Hippocampus.
Yes, it really caught my eye too. It's aiming to be this, well, this central point for some pretty significant ideas coming together.
Definitely. So we've looked through the materials describing it. It's this 13-acre site right on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River over in Maitland, Eastern Ontario.
And what jumps out straight away is the mix, isn't it? You've got this deep history and then just stunning natural beauty all in one place.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got this landmark stone windmill tower from way back, like the 1820s,
Yeah.
and other old buildings from around then, bits of an old stone wharf, but also forest, a creek, fields, and nearly a whole kilometer of shoreline. It's quite the setting.
It really is like stepping back in time, but also looking forward. And that forward look is pretty ambitious. The
Right.
mission they state is to be a place of transformation where nature and, well, humanity connect to heal and thrive.
And the really interesting twist is this planned intersection they talk about: artificial intelligence, community, and nature. Quite a combination.
It is. And that name, Hippocampus, is worth unpacking, I think. It's not just a name.
No, there's definitely layers to it. You see the seahorse logo,
Really?
right? Which immediately makes you think of the hippocampus in the brain.
Yeah, the part for memory, learning, emotions.
Exactly, vital stuff.
And then you dig into the Greek roots, hippos for horse, camphos for sea monster, so like a mythical seahorse.
Yeah, right. A striking image.
And then just campus, flat land, a field. So the name itself kind of weaves together nature, the brain, myth, and just place.
So our mission for this deep dive really is to get under the skin of this Maitland Tower Hippocampus project. What are its core ideas, its ambitions?
Yeah, and what might it actually offer someone like you who's listening and curious about these new ways of thinking about community, nature, and technology?
Okay, so let's start with the place itself. The sources really stress this unique combination of history and nature.
That stone windmill tower, 1828,
Right.
it's such a strong visual anchor to the past, isn't it?
It really is. But it's not just about preserving the past in amber, is it? They have this phrase, leading while remembering.
Exactly. It suggests they're actively weaving that history into
Yeah.
what they're building for the future.
Yeah.
It's more than preservation, it feels like regeneration. And the sources give some great examples, like the old Maitland Charts building. That's becoming the chart house, for planning the future, but also acknowledging Peter Webster's history there.
Okay, interesting.
And the old garage is turning into something called Dirty Paws, envisioned as a creative living lab, sort of arts, science, nature combined.
A living lab, I like that.
Yeah. And the old boathouse.
Yeah.
That's becoming the Adventure Base Camp and home to the Maitland Bay Surf Club.
And it keeps going, right? The old workshop's already been redone with reclaimed stuff.
And the old horse track. That's slated for regenerative agriculture.
Which is that farming method focused on, like, soil health and biodiversity.
Exactly. Improving the land, not just using it. And the greenhouse becomes a sauna and greenhouse combo right near the water. Plus, this historic log house, the house on the point.
Oh, yeah, from the 1790s.
That's the one, being renovated for retreats, events, that kind of thing.
Wow. So, really bringing these old structures back to life.
Definitely. And they also make a point of acknowledging the bigger picture,
Yeah.
the site's history as one of the first French and English colonies.
Right.
And importantly, the indigenous peoples who were there long before. They also mention the Dumbrell and Webster families who looked after the place for years. That stewardship matters.
So that's the physical space and its history. What about the ideas driving it all? What are the core principles?
Well, respect is a big one. Respect for nature, respect for each other, stated right up front in the sources.
Okay.
And that leading while remembering idea again, exploring the past to build a better future seems really central.
It sounds like they want it to be a proper destination, not just a place you pass through.
Yeah, for immersive experiences, active participation, they talk about bringing together people from really different backgrounds.
Like who?
All sorts, really. Different ages, perspectives, skill sets. The idea is they come together to imagine and actually help build the future right at that intersection of tech and nature.
And tackling big questions, like you mentioned, how can artificial intelligence benefit community and nature?
And just to clarify, when we say AI here, we're generally talking about, computer systems doing tasks that normally need human intelligence learning, solving problems, making decisions.
Got it. Thanks.
So the hippocampus wants to be a place for, well, lots of things: sharing, exploring, learning, creating, but also just relaxing, connecting, regenerating, healing, even celebrating life.
Quite a list.
It is. Yeah. They mentioned wanting educators, artists, scientists, entrepreneurs, adventurers, but also just people wanting to connect with the river.
I thought it was interesting that they draw inspiration from the Haudenosaunee Thanksgiving address, that focus on health through nature, healing place nature, nations, and people.
Yes, that grounding seems important, and the emphasis on hands-on participation. It's not supposed to be passive.
Right, you're meant to get involved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's talk specifics. What are some of the actual initiatives taking shape?
Okay.
The Marine Field Station seems key. It's a partnership with the River Institute.
And they mentioned two-eyed seeing there.
Yes, which is such an insightful concept, integrating indigenous knowledge and ways of knowing with Western science.
Right. So this field station is meant to be a hub for teaching and research about the Upper St. Lawrence River specifically.
Pretty much. And the potential research scope they mention is really broad: underwater archaeology, river birds, the impact of the seaway. All sorts.
It's a serious research base.
It does. And then for the more active side of things, there's the nature base camp.
Kayaking, paddle boarding, that stuff.
Yeah, water activities.
Yeah.
And the Maitland Bay Surf Club, which they specifically say will include adaptive sports.
Oh, that's great. So sports modified for people with disabilities.
Exactly. Making it genuinely inclusive. That seems to be a real thread running through this.
Mm-hmm.
They also see the hippocampus as a kind of hub, a base for other organizations working on similar goals. Marine health, environmental stewardship, that regenerative agriculture again, local food.
So a collaborative space.
Seems like it. And they'll host group events too if they align with the mission, corporate retreats, maybe life celebrations.
And this idea of being a sentinel for river health, connecting with other field stations.
Yeah, that's quite ambitious, isn't it? Suggests a long-term commitment to monitoring and protecting the river. Significant potential there.
So, okay, the sources also kind of step back and ask the why, where, and why us questions. It helps frame it all.
Definitely. The why seems pretty clear. Our world, both human and natural, is under stress. There's a need for restoration, for healing.
And the where is this specific historic spot on the St. Lawrence with the Maitland Tower as its icon.
Right. And the why us? Well, their answer seems to be about providing this unique place where diverse people can connect, share creative energy, and, you know, inspire each other to actually participate in creating a healthier future.
I liked that image they used, indigenous peoples and newcomers rowing side by side.
Yeah, that paints a powerful picture of inclusivity, doesn't it?
It does. So, looking further ahead, what else do the sources suggest this place could become?
Well, quite a lot, potentially. A research hub, obviously, for river health, but also maybe AI's role in environmental solutions.
Okay.
A place for corporate retreats, remote work, an event center. A place just for relaxation, maybe wellness focused.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also a hub for food and river health solutions, exploring biomimicry.
That's learning from nature's designs, right?
Exactly. Sure. And biotech. Even incubating local businesses and social enterprises.
That vacation with a purpose idea also stood out.
It did. Encouraging visitors to actually get involved in river health projects, citizen science.
Where the public helps with research.
Right. It connects people directly to the place and its needs. Very hands-on again.
And this commitment to accessibility, accessible to the core, that sounds serious.
It does. Physically, socially, culturally accessible. They specifically talk about finding new ways for people with mobility challenges to experience the St. Lawrence.
How?
Well, they mentioned exploring new kinds of watercraft, different access methods, making trails accessible, creating adventure opportunities that work for all abilities, all ages. It seems really thought through.
That's really impressive.
And meanwhile, the restoration work continues.
Mm.
The tower, the stables, the chart house, which they're aiming for the Living Building Challenge standard.
Which is super rigorous, focused on regenerative buildings.
Extremely. And that Dirty Paws ecosystem restoration project is apparently already happening.
So it reinforces that idea, giving heritage buildings new life as active places, not just museums.
Precisely. And they flag future elements, too. There's a wharf, these sustainable research CABNs, the boathouse, all about connecting with the outdoors.
It feels like the underlying theme is this idea of healing the whole.
I think so. Recognizing that human well-being and nature's health are, you know, completely intertwined. You can't really separate them.
Do they have criteria for projects they support?
They do. Things like, does it improve quality of life? Does it involve the community, create jobs? Can it be scaled up? practical considerations.
And involving a wider range of people in the research and development side, not just the usual experts.
Yeah, they seem to believe that bringing in diverse perspectives from artists to entrepreneurs to community members will spark more creativity and lead to better outcomes for well-being.
Makes sense.
And the list of specific interests is huge. AI for community and nature, social enterprise, scientific research, art, culture, reconciliation, food resilience, river health, wildlife habitat, clean water, climate solutions, biomimicry, low-tech, high-tech. It covers a lot of ground.
Wow.
And they link it all to the UN Decade of Ecosystem Restoration, too. So placing it in that global context.
Okay. And finally, this emergent campus idea.
Right. Offering different lengths of stay, a day, a week, for individuals, companies, youth groups, people with special needs.
With options to get involved in citizen science, maybe with the Aquatarium.
Yeah. Potential collaborations like that are mentioned, making those hands-on opportunities real.
So to wrap it up, what we've been exploring is the Maitland Tower Hippocampus, this really unique blend, isn't it? History, nature, community, innovation, all coming together there on the St. Lawrence.
Yeah, a fascinating mix. And driven by that core mission, fostering, healing, helping both people and the environment to really thrive together, you know, for the long haul.
It really makes you think, doesn't it, about the potential of spaces like this. Spaces that try to integrate the past with the future and use technology thoughtfully, not just for its own sake, but to actually serve communities and the planet. What can they really achieve?
It's a big question. Can these places genuinely foster the kind of positive change and connection we seem to need? That deeper connection to nature and to each other?
Absolutely. And it leaves you wondering, perhaps, what role could you play? What role could any of us play in helping create that kind of future one that's really rooted in nature and genuine connection?